From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Brian Naylor, sitting in for Steve Inskeep. 20 people are reported dead and scores more wounded in today's suicide bombing in Baghdad. Most were Iraqis. It was the deadliest attack since Saddam Hussein was captured last month. NPR's Anne Garrels filed this report from Baghdad.
It was 8 a.m., rush hour. Hundreds of Iraqi workers were waiting on foot and in their cars to enter the heavily fortified American compound. A Toyota pickup was in line. Just before it reached the military checkpoint where everyone is searched, the driver detonated 1,000 pounds of plastic explosive, setting other cars in the vicinity on fire and throwing Iraqi pedestrians to the ground. Iraqi police cars and ambulances raced to the main gates of the American-led administration. The blast could be heard for miles. It was so powerful, military officials say the pickup's engine block was found nearly 100 yards away. The area was quickly sealed by American troops in full combat gear. The attack was clearly an effort to strike as close as possible to the heart of the American authority. This soldier, who would not give his name, was walking to the gate when the explosion occurred.
It was a big flash, a lot bigger than what I thought it was. American soldiers, very minimal injuries, very minimal, extremely, compared to what it should have been.
The barricade of sandbags at the gate took the brunt of the blast. The overwhelming majority of victims were Iraqis employed by the U.S., regular targets of insurgents. Iraqi bystanders were baffled by the continued attacks. Alam Fellah Hassan is angry at the Americans and the Iraqi security forces for not doing more to stop them.
And Iraq became an open field to anybody who wants to get revenge of United States or Iraqi people.
This young boy was waiting in line with his father. Though physically unscathed by this attack, he'd been injured during the U.S. bombing last spring. He was waiting to get medical treatment inside the U.S. compound. Instead, he got a reminder of the ongoing violence. His father is in despair.
Let Bush and Bremer know what we are living in. We are living in hell.
American soldiers announced on loudspeakers that coalition forces will give $2,500 to anyone providing information on the perpetrators. 28 wounded were brought to the Karama Hospital. The administrator expects 12 won't make it.
They are severely injured, most of them in the face, abdomen, legs area. This is the hardest situation we witnessed after the war.
The guerrillas have used increasingly sophisticated tactics and weapons to attack the U.S. occupation forces and their supporters. In addition to car bombs, the insurgents have brought down 9 military helicopters since October. U.S. military spokesman General Mark Kimmett.
I want to make sure that everybody understands that we will continue the operation, we will continue our pace of operations, and we'll continue to kill or capture anti-Iraqi and anti-coalition elements throughout the country as long as we are here.
Violence is the main obstacle confronting the Bush administration as it attempts a rapid transfer of sovereignty to a new Iraqi government by the end of June. But the administration is also facing serious political objections to its plan. Shiite Muslim leaders and Kurdish politicians, among the strongest supporters of the U.S.-led invasion, have now threatened U.S. plans by making demands for political rights. The explosion occurred as Chief U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer prepares for key meetings with the U.N. Secretary General scheduled for tomorrow. U.S. officials are now hoping the U.N., which it had kept at arm's length, will agree to play some sort of role in Iraq that would help legitimize the process set up by the Americans. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.